touchdown, Kansas City!
It's time for the Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Kingdom Show. Live with play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Altus. It's brought to you by your Midwest Ford Dealers. Visit Ford at your MidwestFordDealers.com. You're listening to exclusive coverage of Chiefs football. Here's the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Altus.
We'll tell you about it Tuesday, 4 to 6.
And tonight, we need each other. You guys have been great all season long. The fan support has simply been outstanding. Now, normally, our group leader, the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Altus, he guides us on our path. However, Mitch is on his way to Smith Center, Kansas. Mitch's dad, L. Dean, battling some pneumonia. Our thoughts and prayers to him, to Mitch, and Tammy. Meantime, I am Dan Israel, and I know the first thing Mitch would say tonight... And tonight, we need each other. You guys have been great all season long. The fan support has simply been outstanding. Now, normally, our group leader, the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Altus, he guides us on our path. However, Mitch is on his way to Smith Center, Kansas. Mitch's dad, L. Dean, battling some pneumonia. Our thoughts and prayers to him, to Mitch, and Tammy. Meantime, I am Dan Israel, and I know the first thing Mitch would say tonight is no heavy heads, no long faces, just full hearts. Yes, it was a disappointing end, but it was a fantastic season, and we have a fantastic show for you tonight. A member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, former Chiefs kicker Jan Stenerode is going to join us. We'll also hear from the most winning coach in his first 4 years, in my opinion, a candidate for Coach of the Year, a future Hall of Fame, I think, in everyone's opinion, and perhaps one of the greatest human beings I've ever worked with. We'll hear from the coach himself as Mitch sits down with head coach Andy Reid for his thoughts. Again, if you're in KC, you're a Chiefs fan, come join us. We're at the Hy-Vee Market Grill in Gladstone. Everybody's here tonight. We have the Redcoaters. They are here tonight. The Geeks are here. Snowstorm Sandy, Autograph Geek, and Froman. The Taj Mahal Tailgater, Susie Bling Bling, Kent the Cake Baker. And Coach always loves to say hi to Reed's Redheads. They are here tonight. The Red Hots and Red Guard is here. And, of course, X-Factor. Come join us. Hy-Vee Market Grill in Gladstone. Coming up, we'll talk with Hall of Fame kicker Jan Stenerode later in the show. But coming up next, Mitch and the coach on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network.
Play action fake, rolling left. Now he throws for the near side, caught, touchdown, Kansas City! And Albert Wilson with the touchdown reception, sneaking out of the backfield in that inverted wishbone triangle. Backfield set, the Chiefs march right down the field and take the lead.
Well, welcome once again to our final Chiefs Kingdom show of the year, and a big shout out to all the folks here at the Hy-Vee Market Grill in Gladstone, and big thanks to Dan Israel, who'll handle the rest of the show tonight with Jan Stenerode, the Pro Football Hall of Fame kicker. Had situation, they got to put Dad in the hospital, so I have to deal with that. But anyway, hit with me the head football coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid. Chiefs lose 18-16 to the Steelers, and when you get a chance to back off this one, I'm not going to ask you if you slept on it because I know you didn't sleep, but just your thoughts as you now are some hours away from it.
You know, it's kind of how I felt after the game. I mean, we battled. The tough part is you kind of finish the game with some momentum in that fourth quarter. And so, and then you have it taken away from you on a penalty that probably could have gone either way. I mean, but obviously it didn't go in our favor to tie it up. And now you're right back into what you had against Denver with the momentum and an opportunity to get into overtime. So this wasn't one of those games where you're sitting there in the fourth quarter saying the game's over. That's not what this was. This was one that we battled right to the end. It was very similar to a lot of games that we had this year that we came out on top. What can we learn from it? We can learn that you got to take care of business earlier in the game. We had a few penalties there that you got to take care of, some drop balls, missed tackles, those type of things that you can't have against good teams. So you know, if there's a plus to it, the fans were a big plus. The other thing was that we've made strides. We've gotten better than we were the year before, but we got to put a lot of hard work in this offseason to take it up a notch. And so that's what we're that's what we're looking forward to. We got a good foundation and nucleus here, and a certain philosophy that the players believe in. But again, we just got to be a little bit more accurate with it.
Game offensively, and you were rolling the last 2 weeks of the season, and you rolled that first drive, 4-4, four guys touching in the passing game. You go right down the field, and then you mentioned the momentum at the end. It was like the stuff sandwiched in between. Where did things kind of go awry there, you think?
Well, we started the second series kind of the same way. So we were moving the ball, had the shovel to Kelsey, and then all of a sudden we had a penalty. And then you back up, and you know the chances of being positive on production with penalties is a tough deal against this crew here. So now you're driving long first and a gazillion and another second, and so that becomes a problem. And so that for a bit there in that first half, that's kind of what we did from there to halftime. Came out at halftime and stalled early. And we had some drop balls in there that affect us early in the third, you know, in that third quarter area. And then, again, you know, you got to be productive. And then we started picking it up and kind of got the momentum back in our favor.
Andy, you've won this level of game so many times in your career. The hidden yards that you alluded to, the drop balls, I think I added up 65 yards maybe, just conservative, left on the field with the drops. And then the 60 yards in penalties, that's over 7 points right there. To win a game at this level, how much of a teaching point is it that, man, that is, you got to screw a little tighter on that stuff?
Yeah, sure. Before half, you know, you're talking about points. Maybe it's just a field goal, but that's okay. That's what they were making a living off of, so you're at least matching what they're doing on that end. Then you come out and, you know, all these drops. Well, one was for a first down in the big red zone area. The other one takes you down to the 10, and you have an opportunity there. So, I mean, these are point catches. They're not something where you're backed up and you're just kind of moving the chains. This is something that would have led to points, and we might have even gotten one off of the field goal off of the one drop, but still, you're talking about touchdowns as opposed to field goals.
Defensively, Le'Veon Bell, with all apologies, I guess, to Ezekiel Elliott and maybe Shady McCoy, probably the best in the business right now. When you looked at it, was there anything you could do to try to slow him down a little bit?
Well, I thought the first half, you know, we missed a couple tackles. You got to really attack him from the backside there. And when you have an opportunity, you got to get him down, and he was able to get through a couple of those. And then the second half, I thought we tightened it up a little bit and did a better job. So first half, though, he was chewing up time, field, position, climb. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, that thing was even close to a balance on that. I think we had the ball for 18 plays. Some of that the offense has got to control with drives of their own, so, and sustaining them. But when given an opportunity to tackle him, you've got to tackle him. And he's got good size, so he's a good football player. We knew that coming in. I mean, he did that early against Miami and really did it throughout the game. We were able to really slow it down the second half.
It's always a rough day, to be honest, and a rough evening here as we close things out. But I'll be honest with you, Andy, I love this team. Yeah. This 2016 team, this was a unique group. I mean, I'll have a fond place, and I think that they gave us a shot in 17.
Yeah, no, they built a good foundation for us to continue to build on here, and there are a lot of great personalities on this team. They didn't care. I mean, they cared about this game, but they didn't care in general. They never were down or didn't let things faze them. Even yesterday, they didn't let anything faze them. They just kind of worked through it and figured that they would, they had the confidence. They figured that if they just took care of business, they'd be okay. We got to take care of business just a little bit sooner. But a lot of great personalities on this team.
You've laid down just a piece of the foundation in all 4 year years here. But how much of a toughness foundation did you lay? This team won 6 road games and beat 5 of the top quarterbacks in this league at their house. Real hard to do. Nobody in the league did that. How much toughness was built with this team for the future?
Yeah, well, that's what we kind of banked on, mental toughness physical toughness. And again, I that's something that you can you grow with. And I'm proud of the way the guys handled themselves that way. That was never an issue. And something that the teams, as we go on, need to just continue to increase and better themselves in that area and take a lot of pride in that. So, and that said, it was done with quite a few backups at key positions. So that just stepped in and felt that and stepped up and didn't flinch. So that's a good quality to have.
I was proud of this coaching staff. I was proud of this team. I was proud of that crowd. Man, they just would not shut up. They wanted to will you to win. But now they ask, along with everybody else, now what? What do you do now to build for 17? What's on the calendar and how do you approach it? And I'll just say this to the fans. You put every fiber of whatever God gave you into this team and into this job. And I hope Chiefs fans appreciate that.
They were great, man. They stayed around. Normally, I've got easy sailing when I leave the stadium. They were all here. I think they were shocked as we were at the end, knowing the personality of our teams. And we appreciate their support. They're like I said, they're a huge part of this thing. And so without them, we can't do it. Without their support on the road, at home here, we can't do it. The players feel an energy there.
But for you now what? I know you have to go through evaluation. You got to deal with the business of this game. This is where it's not always easy because never to be back in 2017.
Well, they won't. That's a tough part of the business, you know. And then we've got to go coach in the Pro Bowl, which is like throwing salt on the wound here. But we'll do that. We're going to do that. We'll do the best of our ability. And then you get yourself back, and only time takes care of it. That was kind of my thing with the media today, is some of these things time takes care of, and you want answers right now, but it's too early right now. So, but you got to bank on the foundation and the trust you have in each other. The good things will happen and lay in the future for the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's important.
Well, personally, I want to thank you for another terrific year. You have rescued the kingdom. I've told you that personally. I will tell you that publicly, and we look forward to 17.
All right, Mitch. It's always a pleasure, man.
Head Coach Andy Reid, again, stay tuned. We'll have more. Dan Israel will be with Jan Stenerud again at the Hy-Vee Market Grill in Gladstone. Thanks to Coach Reid, and we'll be back with more after this. You're listening to exclusive coverage of Chiefs football.
At the 1.5, Ware moves to the left side. Alex Smith, handoff Ware, trying the right side, plows into the end zone! Touchdown! Kansas City! Spencer Ware makes it 18-16 with 2:43 to go in the game.
Welcome back to the Chiefs Kingdom Show. That, of course, Spencer Ware from last night. How about Spencer Ware filling in? I mean, what an outstanding season that young man had. We are at the Hy-Vee Market Grill in Gladstone off of Prospect, and joining us now, one of the men who helped Kansas City win a world championship in Super Bowl IV. You can visit his bust in Canton, Ohio's Pro Football Hall of Fame, Jan Stenerud. Thank you for joining us tonight.
It's nice to be here. Thank you.
You've had a great deal of postseason success and some failure. You know what it's like on both ends of the spectrum. How hard is it for these guys? How did you handle this type of loss, this disappointment, when you were playing?
Well, the deeper you get in the playoffs, the worse it gets. You lose a game early in the regular season, that's disappointing. If you lose a game not to get into the playoffs, it's disappointing. You get into the playoffs, you lose the first time, the disappointment grows the further you get. The worst thing in the world, of course, is to lose the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as you know, I was involved and had a chance to win a game, a playoff game, 45 years ago. And I tell you, it stays with you for a long time. It stays with you forever.
I know that game in particular stayed with a lot of you guys. We just got Lenny Dawson to start talking about that. And the thing he always says about that game, while the focus may have seemed to have been on you, there were so many opportunities there. And there's always things behind the scenes that people don't know with that. We don't have to get into that, but you know that those are more complex.
There always is when you have games like yesterday. You said, what if? But there's no question. We had a chance to kick a field goal, which is no longer an extra point today, from 31, 32 yards in the 30 seconds to go in the game. And in those days, heck, I was just named to my fourth Pro Bowl in my fifth year. So I made a lot of those kicks, obviously. And everything went fine. The snap was fine. It was good. The hold was good. I missed it by a couple of inches to the right, and we lose the game. And then we get into overtime. I get one blocked in overtime. And finally, Upremian kicks a field goal in the 82nd minute, I think it is. I didn't keep track. But it was extremely disappointing. But what I didn't realize at the time, of course, we had just won the Super Bowl 2 years before. And so that was, of course, a big highlight. And then afterwards, I was thinking about not doing it anymore. I was disappointed. It was so strong, and that was my fifth year. And I was thinking about really getting out of it.
Were you really?
Oh, absolutely. But I decided to keep going, and I ended up doing it for 14 more years and made a few Pro Bowls after that. But I cannot change this regardless of what I did afterwards. I was able to get bounced back and get off the floor and have a good career. But the bad part, you can never change that game. So that would stay with you. And so when we get into this time of the year and we get the playoffs games, there's no question that the feeling kind of comes back. What I felt that particular night, for example, and it is hard. And some of this, and of course now you get into the blame game, who lost the game the most, and you point out some names, like a couple of guys get picked on pretty bad today by what happened last night. And but you have to overcome. But it was still with you. It's something that you always will remember.
What's the great healer there, Tom?
Well, I thought so. I thought this happened to me 45 years ago.
You had a rough Christmas day this year, didn't you?
When this thing happened again, there's no question it comes back pretty strong. But then, you know, there are a lot of great things that happened. When you're a pro football for 19 years like I was, I had very, very few bad games, I guess, or bad times, but a lot of good times. But you are expected to be good. I mean, that's why you're there. So I don't know how many game winning kicks I made. I think in Green Bay when I made 5 in 1 year, I think I made about 25 to 30. There's no way I can remember all those. But I can, and I don't, you know, I don't want to remember. That's part of your job. But if you fail, that's what you remember. So it stays with you. But I can deal with it. The only problem I can't do anything about is the outcome of that particular game.
It almost seems like it bothers you guys more after you're done kicking, because when you're still playing, that next play, you're really hyper-focused on that moment, aren't you?
Well, you can maybe do something about it at that point, but
right.
Afterwards you can't. But it's it depends on what kind of individual you are. I think I'm pretty accountable, and so you feel a great deal of responsibility, I suppose. But that's okay. A lot of good things have happened. The only bad thing, again, for the third time, I can't change that game.
Does that somehow bind you guys? I know your group, that 69 squad, even going on 71, I talked to Ed Podolak on Christmas Day. He talks about you guys with so much affection. He loves you guys so much.
Well,
does that bind you together, you know, losing?
Well, I think winning binds you together even more.
Does it?
You know, remember, we played, you know, when we won the Super Bowl 2 years before, we had to play two playoff games to get into that
Super Bowl, obviously.
We had to go to New York. They were defending champ, Super Bowl III. I mean, Joe Namath later said he, you know, guaranteed the win of the Baltimore Colts, and they were favored by 18 points. So we had to go to New York on a miserable cold day in Shea Stadium. Wind was howling. There was no turf. The Mets had won the World Series. All the grass was gone. It was a miserable day. We won 13-6. Then we had to go out to Oakland and beat them. They were a tremendous football team. So we had to go on the road to beat the two best teams other than us in the AFL to go to the Super Bowl. So we had some pressure games, and they were hard games, but we won, and they had a great team.
Yeah, I don't think people realize a lot that the Chiefs were a wild card that year. Did you enjoy watching the Raiders carry their bags out to the car as much as Lenny?
Well, yes. For the people that don't know, you know, it was only 1 week to the Super Bowl that particular year. It wasn't two weeks in between. And they played in Oakland. They beat them 17-7. And, of course, they had taken the gear to bring after the game directly on the flight, you know, to the airport and fly down to New Orleans. So we got a pretty good kick out of watching them getting their baggage and putting it back in the car and drive home, and we were flying to New Orleans.
Didn't have anything to do with the fact that it was the Raiders, I'm sure. When we come back, I want to talk to you about how you got into this league, because you were a unique position. You're the only pure kicker in the Hall of Fame. I'm sure Adam Vinatieri, at some point, they'll put him in. But
And I hope Morton Anderson will make it this year.
So. We'll talk about that when we come back. More Chiefs Kingdom. We're at the Hy-Vee Market Grill in Gladstone. You're listening to exclusive coverage of Chiefs football.
Quick throw to it. Now the pass is tipped. And is it intercepted? It is intercepted in the end zone. Chiefs have an interception in the end zone. Big Ben throws a pick. Eric Berry off the deflection. A yard deep in the end zone. And the two teams trade turnovers.
Welcome back to the Kingdom Show. Boy, I tell you, there's nobody, perhaps the only other guy that would match the heart of Eric Berry on this 2016 squad is Derek Johnson. Such a tough break for him this year. Dan Israel, in for Mitch Holthus. Quick word with Eldeen Holthus. Guys, I shorted you an out cue, so we're going to take the hammer here. I need your help. This is for Eldeen Holthus. Get better. Let's put the hammer down. Ready? Put the hammer down. Let's get that pneumonia cured and get him back up on his feet. Jan Stinneritz joining us. Jan, thank you so much for taking some time. I know this is always tough for you guys. You guys feel this pain so very real. I want to just explain to fans a little bit about how you got into this league, because it wasn't like you grew up like these kids playing Madden football, tossing the ball around in the backyard. That wasn't your history.
Well, of course, I didn't play that much. I kicked for about 20 years, but no, as you can tell, I speak a little bit different than the people in Gladstone still. 50-some years, but no, I came to Montana State. I was recruited on a ski scholarship from Norway to go to college in 1962, and I was a sixth in the junior nationals in ski jumping in my native country. So went to Montana State and loved the college life. It was fun. The football team was a big deal on campus. The basketball was fine, too, and the football game, I thought it was exciting to watch. But one day, and as a skier, I always ran the stadium steps to get my legs ready for the ski season, and played a lot of soccer in the summer, like you played soccer in every country in the world, nearly. So one day, my junior year, 1964, I went out and kicked the ball with a toe like everybody kicked in those days. And I noticed that I kicked the ball a lot further than the guy that actually the kicker on the team. And I asked if you can kick with the side of your foot, like you take a soccer kick, a corner kick, or a penalty kick. And they said, yes, you can. It's legal to do that. There's a guy for the Buffalo Bills. His name is Pete Goglack. He kicks with the side of his foot. So I kicked a few, and I didn't really pay that much attention to it. But the basketball coach there, his name was Roger Kraft. Les Kraft later played at K-State as a center. And he ran over to the football coach. His name was Jim Sweeney. And he says, you know, there's a Norwegian skier out there kicking the football a long, long way. You ought to take a look at him. I didn't think much about it. But a couple of months later, I kicked a few times in the meantime. And I was running the stadium steps, and the team was working out in the stadium. And this booming football coach yelled, hey, skier, get down here on the field. Here you can kick. So I kicked off a couple of times, and the first one didn't go over very well, but the second one from the 40-yard line went through the goalpost and into the seats, which was 70 yards away.
Wow.
And I did that two or three times in a row. But what I remember the most was, so the coach patted me on, this was a Friday afternoon. Of course, the next game was on Saturday, last home game my junior year. He patted me on the shoulder and said, hey, kid, what are you doing tomorrow afternoon? And what I remember the most was exactly that, because I always grew up with America was the land of opportunity. It was the greatest country on earth. And so when he said, are you ready? I thought, are you doing anything tomorrow afternoon? I thought, this is the land of opportunity. If I do well, who knows what's going to happen? So I went out for spring practice, made the team, and then I turned out to kick a 59-yard field goal, which at that time was the longest in, broke the college record by 5 yards, I think, and the pro record by 3 yards.
Wow.
And I got a telegram draft by Jack Stedman from the Kansas City Chiefs that I've been drafted in the third round of the AFL redshirt draft. That's how we found out.
They you said, what's a draft?
There was no draft on ESPN in those days. So.
No, yeah.
So I was actually drafted after, you know, just 1 year of kicking in college, and that's how I got started.
I got to tell you, if somebody said, you can go out and take a hit from a Ndamukong Suh, or you can get on a pair of skis and jump the way you guys jump, I'd take the hit from Ndamukong Suh. I don't know how you guys, I don't know how you did that. I don't know how you played so long in the NFL. That's a very tough two jobs that you've chosen throughout your career.
In some ways, but skiing where I grew up, everybody did that. No big deal.
That's true. That's true.
And in my job in football was not necessarily the most pleasant one. There was a lot of pressure and a lot of, but that's part of, you know, we don't get hurt or hit like the other people do all the time. And it's a brutal game. I mean, it is a tough game. Those guys are tough. And I do want to say to the Chiefs fans, too, these guys, that Andy Reid and his staff did a heck of a job. And these players are tremendous. And it was a great year, and it could have happened this year, but maybe it'll be next year. But I think every player should be so proud of the whole Chiefs and the organization, the players, the whole gang. We're all disappointed very much right now, but boy, you should. Kansas City should be very proud of them.
Yeah, agreed. It's a young squad. Thank you so much for taking some time to come to join us. I mean, you were such a part of Chiefs history. It's amazing to me that some 50 years later, that no team has done what you guys accomplished. But you wear a ring from the Super Bowl on one hand, you wear a ring from the Hall on the other, and you deserve both. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan.
Jan Stenerud, everyone. Appreciate everybody's effort to come out and make us feel a little better on this tough, disappointing loss. But as Jan said, it gets better. There's a lot to look forward to. All right. We'll have more Chiefs Kingdom Show coming up next on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network. Welcome back to the Chiefs Kingdom Show. Just a quick note of for those of you who are in Kansas City or willing to travel into town, this Thursday night at 7 p.m., there will be a Kansas City premiere of the Home on the Range movie. Now, this is a movie documentary that kind of tells the story of the legendary song that's kind of become worldwide famous and the drama that surrounded it. This is a part of the Chiefs Kingdom history, and it has the acting debut of our very own Mitch Holthus. How about that? So, again, that is this Thursday night at the Extreme Theater in Union Station. Come join us. I think it's going to be a great time. Special thanks to Hall of Fame kicker Jan Stenerud and his lovely wife, Patty. Appreciate them coming out. This is the final Kingdom Show. It would not have been possible without our sponsors. Thanks to the Central Bank of the Midwest. Of course, Hy-Vee. The Hy-Vee Market Grill folks have made us feel home all year long. And the people that worked so hard to put this together on site here. Thanks to Charlie Carlin, Pamela Todd, Kelly Will, and back in our studio, Bryce Meehan. Also, thanks to Brad G and the entire Chiefs Public Relations Department for helping coordinate players each week. That is an unbelievably daunting task. In some ways, it seems like only yesterday I was unpacking my dorm, my stuff at dorm room at training camp. The grind, it's almost 30 weeks long. It starts at training camp, and it doesn't stop until an opposing team packs your bags. And as disappointing as that is, as much heartbreak as we feel today, this is a good team with a lot of youth on it. Marcus Peters, Tyreek Hill, Spencer Ware, Dontari Poe, Cairo Santos, Travis Kelce, just to name a few. These guys are not giving up, right? So neither are we. And I've seen way too much football, as Jan told you. Andy Reid and his staff are simply incredible. This squad took another step towards that ultimate goal. I don't want to minimize the prize, but part of being a fan of this team is the journey. And in my opinion, this year's journey was truly unbelievable. As we say goodbye, let's take a look back at this incredible 12-4 season. Let's remember just how good the journey was.
The 2016 Chiefs, a team full of promise and hope, and a team coming off their first playoff victory in 23 years. The season kicked off with a bang at home against division rival San Diego, though initially not in Kansas City's favor.
Rivers takes the shotgun snap. Fade pattern's got a man wide open, blown coverage, touchdown, Danny Woodhead. The Chiefs now trying to figure it out, but that's three drives, three touchdowns for the San Diego Chargers.
But the Chiefs' California-born quarterback brought the team back with a vengeance.
Now a quick play, action to Hill. Inside the five, breaks a tackle, 3-2-1, touchdown! Kansas City, Tyreek Hill, his first National Football League touchdown, couldn't come at a better time. Touchdown! Macklin on a 19-yard catch on an excellent back shoulder throw. Ware's going to get it on a run, powers up the middle, driving, drives into the end zone! They're going to give it to him! No signal, now they do! Touchdown! Kansas City!
And it was Smith himself with the final dagger.
Sir Kendrick West to his right. They're going to option it. Smith will keep it. He dives to the end zone. He's got a touchdown! Kansas City! In one of the greatest comebacks in Chiefs Kingdom history!
The largest comeback in 56 years, to be exact. And a thrilling 33-27 overtime win to start the season. Up next, a rematch of their playoff game 8 months earlier.
Ware, across the 45, fumbles the ball. His first NFL fumble, and it's recovered by the Texans. Osweiler stepping up to throw. Throws left, it is caught by Hopkins. And the kick is up, it's partially blocked, and it's still good anyway. Oh. It barely gets over the crossbar.
And with very little offense, the Chiefs fell in Houston. A bounce-back game against the lowly New York Jets was just what the team needed.
Snap to Fitzpatrick, again looking in the flat. The pass intercepted by Derek Johnson. He's got the open field, gets a couple blocks. DJ going right. He's at the 25, 20, 15. He's at the 10, and he's taking a jet with him all the way to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City for Derek Johnson. His fourth pick. Six of his incredible career.
A convincing 24-3 win in front of the home crowd. Now, a much tougher challenge against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football.
Roethlisberger, feet stagger right in front of the left. Fires it over the middle. A pass is caught. Touchdown. Antonio Brown. Roethlisberger to throw. The throwback attempt. Throwing long. Antonio Brown in the end zone. Makes the catch. Touchdown, Steelers. Hurting Steven Nelson this time.
A sobering 43-14 drubbing on national television. And the Chiefs limped into their bye week 2-2. But Andy Reid has the distinction of being the best NFL coach coming off a bye. And the 2016 season was no exception.
Carr is under pressure. Now he's thrown to the near side. The pass will be intercepted by Peters on an underthrow by Carr. Charles off tackle left. Inside the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown! Jamal Charles back on the field and back in the end zone. Dontari Poe is in the game. Mate, this might be a pass to Poe and a wide receiver screen. It is. Poe with the catch, and he drags into the end zone. Touchdown! Kansas City! A pass to Dontari Poe! A touchdown for Poe, and I'm going to say this in Chiefs history, there has never been a 350-pound wide receiver for a touchdown.
A much-needed 26-10 win over the up-and-coming Raiders in Oakland. And the winning didn't stop there. Up next, New Orleans at home.
Snap back to Breeze right at his knees. Chiefs are blitzing. Breeze goes down. Coming in like a missile. Daniel Sorensen. And there was no chance for Breeze.
At Indianapolis.
He's going to throw a fade. This time Macklin over the shoulder catch. He's got it this time. Touchdown.
Against Jacksonville.
This kick is good. Santos with a 51-yard field goal.
And a late turnover carried them to a 2017 win over the reigning NFC champion Carolina Panthers.
It is caught by Kelvin Benjamin. Now the ball taken away. The ball was brought out at the end of the play. It's pulled away at the 24-yard line. It was Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters just yanked the ball away.
By week 10, the Chiefs had emerged as one of the AFC's most formidable teams. With a 7-2 record and 5-game win streak, Kansas City welcomed a scrappy Tampa Bay Bucs team into Arrowhead in Week 10.
Jameis Winston, and he's thrown to the near side, wide open. Mike Evans loses Steven Nelson and catches the football. He's up at midfield.
Playing without standout corner Marcus Peters, the Chiefs fell behind. But it was the team's sluggish offense that proved fatal.
They're going to run a slant for Conley. It's intercepted in the end zone. It is picked off by the safety. And he's at the 20-yard line, to the 25, to the 30, and still on his feet, being chased by O'Shaughnessy. A pick in the end zone by Chris Conte. This one takes points off the board for Kansas City.
That critical fourth-quarter mistake by Alex Smith led to the 19-17 loss in front of the Arrowhead crowd and snapped a 10-game home win streak. A struggling offense had to turn it around against division nemesis Denver in Mile High in front of a national Sunday night audience.
From his own end zone, Simeon's head for a safety. Now the ball's loose. It's recovered by Denver, but it's a two-point safety. And guess who got it? Justin Houston comes through with his third sack of this game.
In just his second game of the season, Justin Houston was back in a big way. But it was the emergence of a new star that truly energized Kansas City.
Going right, it's Tyreek Hill. He's got two blocks. He's at the 40. He's at the 45, 50, 40-yard line off the free kick. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, and high fives to Anthony Thomas as he goes into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City on an 85-yard free kick return for a touchdown following the safety.
But after two late Denver touchdowns, Alex Smith found his team down 8 points in the fourth. Not known for scoring at will, KC needed an answer.
Alex Smith fires it late. The pass is caught. It is a touchdown.
To who else but Tyreek Hill? But they still needed two more.
Alex Smith raises the right leg. Sprint out action to the right. Fires it near side. It's caught. Demetrius Harris spikes the ball in the end zone. The Chiefs tie it at 24-24.
The drama continued. Both teams traded field goals. but after stalling at midfield, the Broncos would try a risky 62-yard field goal attempt. The long miss would leave Kansas City with only half a field to traverse, but little time left before the game would terminate in a tie.
Colquitt waiting for the snap. Paceman is down. Santos's kick is lined up. That kick is gone. He got it. Santos gets it just barely inside the left upright, and the Kansas City Chiefs have won in overtime with an improbable victory.
The win would help the Chiefs keep pace with the division-leading Raiders. But the Chiefs' next opponent would keep them on the road, heading to the league's hottest offense, the Atlanta Falcons.
Grant out of the shotgun, fires it over the middle, intercepted by Berry. He's at the 25. Eric Berry from Atlanta at the 15. The innovative 10. 5. Touchdown!
After a slow start, the Chiefs led most of the way, but 12 fourth quarter points gave Atlanta a 1-point lead. And in an effort to protect that lead, the Falcons would forego the extra point and attempt a 2-point conversion. But the alert play of the NFL's comeback player of the year would snatch victory from the jaws of defeat.
Now Ryan will throw, it's intercepted, this can be returned for two, this can be points for Kansas City, it would give Kansas City the lead, it's Eric Berry, 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, it is a 2-point conversion the other way for Kansas City, the first time in Chiefs history, the Chiefs have pulled it off, and the Chiefs lead 29-28.
The interception would do more than underscore the homecoming of Atlanta native Eric Berry. It would give the Chiefs a 1-point victory. And in a true twist of irony, the NFL's first ever pick two would also make the Chiefs' final score 29, the only number Berry has worn as a pro. A short week brought the Chiefs back home to Arrowhead for Thursday night football. The Chiefs were now in a dogfight with Oakland for the division lead, and this head-to-head matchup would be crucial.
Punt is away. The crowd chanting Tyreek, Tyreek, as Hill takes it. The number one punt returner in the league. At the 25, puts his foot in the ground. 35, 40, gets a block midfield, cuts it back, 40, 30, goodbye, Oakland, Tyreek Hill. 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City. 77-yard punt return for a touchdown.
Kansas City improved to 10-3, and owning the tiebreaker was now in first place in the AFC West. But a stumble the following week against Tennessee at home left many questioning how far this team could go.
Smith takes the snap, looking left, fires it for the end zone. The pass is intercepted in the end zone. The Chiefs will get no points out of the drive.
And the Chiefs would slip from the number two seed to a wild card berth. The third game of the three-game December homestand would also be the third nationally televised game of the regular season. All eyes were on the Chiefs and reigning world champion Broncos as Christmas Day concluded inside Arrowhead Stadium. A Ravens loss to the Steelers earlier that day had given the Chiefs a playoff berth, but Travis Kelce's record-setting performance helped to put the Broncos' postseason out of reach.
Kelce trying to get right. He's at the 30, open field. He's at the 40. He's at midfield. One more block. Kelce can go. 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, an 80-yard bubble screen for a touchdown, tying the longest touchdown pass in Alex Smith's career.
And for a final chorus, the Hungry Pig would become the heaviest man to throw a touchdown in the National Football League.
This is a shotgun snap to Poe. Who's going to throw it? Caught! Demetrius Harris! Touchdown! Kansas City! The first touchdown in the second half since November 27th is a Dontari Poe touchdown pass! Hungry Pig is passing!
Poe's bloated Tebow pass completed the 33-10 rout of the Super Bowl champs and put the Chiefs within reach of the division title with just one game remaining. The Chiefs would complete the regular season on the road for the final trip to San Diego.
California, here we come, right back where
the division-leading Raiders would finish on the road in Denver. But a season-ending injury to the Raiders' star quarterback the previous week made the Raiders-Broncos contest anything but certain. And by the end of the afternoon, the postseason began to take shape.
You can hear the Tomahawk chant in Southern California.
There's a lot of red in the stands, that's for sure.
23 seconds to go in the game, and the Chiefs are going to do this. They are going to pull this off at the end of the Tennessee game. Who would have thunk this? Most people thought the division was not in play. And the Chiefs have beaten the San Diego Chargers 37-27, and the Oakland Raiders have lost to the Denver Broncos 24-6.
The Kansas City Chiefs have won the AFC West in 2016, and they will be the 2 seed.
The drama that had been unfolding for 17 weeks in the AFC West was over, and the Chiefs, who had been quietly taking care of business, had earned the division championship, a home playoff game, and a first-round bye.
Roethlisberger, twist move in the middle, Roethlisberger, and he's going to be sacked back at the 24. This time he hung on too long. It looked like Dee Ford got him. First sack of the night for Kansas City. Alex Smith's going to unload it. He's hit as he throws. The ball is in the air and intercepted by Ryan Shazier of Pittsburgh. Roethlisberger goes to a knee, and that will end the game. The Pittsburgh Steelers are advancing.
Though the end of any season is bittersweet, the 2016 Chiefs were able to take the next step towards postseason success in the 2017 season.
Alex Smith is throwing long left for the business, coming back to the ball, catch made, touchdown, Kansas City! Tyreek Hill was tracking that football with his nose and eyes. It's a 38-yard touchdown pass. Touchdown, Kansas City!
You've been listening to Chiefs Kingdom, brought to you by your Midwest Ford dealers. Visit them at your MidwestFordDealers.com. You're listening to exclusive coverage of Chiefs football.